This is Temple in Heilprin on the Wisconsin Sports Zone Network.
Welcome into Temple and Heilprin. We are live from Monk's Bar and Grill in Sun Prairie. The Badgers tipping off against Rutgers as we speak. Probably not going to talk a ton of basketball, as most of the people that are going to be listening to this probably doing it via podcast, which is completely fine. We're completely fine with that. But don't want to talk a ton of basketball unless this goes haywire and Wisconsin gets down big, and then we may have to talk a little bit something about it, Jesse. As of right now, we are not going to talk a ton of basketball. But the Badgers, obviously, in a needed win situation where they need some momentum to go their way. And we'll see if they're able to get it done. Rutgers beat the heck out of them last time they played. Wisconsin just needs some positivity to go their way, and we'll see if it plays out. We're going to get into plenty of stuff. Torin Pettaway, the three-star defensive lineman from Middleton, became the third commit from the state of Wisconsin to pledge his commitment to the Badgers, for lack of a better term, and the ninth overall in the class of 2025. We're going to talk about him in our next segment. Also going to get into something that one of your colleagues at The Athletic said, that Wisconsin would be among the fan bases that expects to be in the playoff every single year. The fan bases expect it. That felt a little off to me. We'll talk about that as well. And then, Barry Alvarez talking a little bit as well today. So we'll talk about that stuff. But I wanted to start with this little big picture topic, because something that Josh Gosser, I had a chance to talk to Josh Gosser on Wednesday for The Swing, and he mentioned, he was talking about some what-ifs, because what if he doesn't tear his ACL? If he doesn't tear his ACL before the 2012-2013 season, well, then he's playing that season, and he's not around for the 2014-15 team. He would have been gone. He was in the same class as Ben Brust, and would have been gone. So it kind of made me on this idea of things that, what if? And so I started thinking about some of the biggest what-ifs of the last 35 years in Wisconsin athletics, and I had to go 35 years. Usually I would just say 30, but now that 1993 is now 31 years ago, I had to go a little bit further. But I'll let you go first. What is your number one what-if? And I'm not asking for your only one, but the one that sticks out when we talk about this right away.
A few years ago, I did a story for The Athletic on something similar, the biggest what-ifs for Wisconsin football over the previous decade, something along those lines. And the one that I've always heard, even though it was never realistic and wasn't going to happen, was what if J.J. Watt had decided to come back for another year in 2011? He was a top 15 NFL draft pick. He was clearly ready and was a multi-year player of the year, but had another year of eligibility, and that was the greatest offense we've ever seen at Wisconsin. But what if they had inability to pair it with someone like J.J. Watt, because they somehow lost three games, all of which because the defense gave up a ton of points. So that's a what-if that I've heard a lot.
Well, it's like the Michigan State game. What if they had a pass rush that didn't allow Kirk Cousins to take that shot downfield? What if they had a pass rush that could have gotten to Braxton Miller so he couldn't throw that long pass down the field? I don't really look at that. You know, the Oregon game was what it was. If they had won those first two games, they would not have been playing Oregon in that game, so it would have been a little bit different. But, yes, certainly that one stands out for quite a few people. I want to kind of go back a little bit further. One that I don't think necessarily probably gets talked about a lot, but it came up when I was doing my Rose Bowl stuff before last summer, when I was talking to Barry Alvarez. I was talking to Jay Wilson and talking to some of the other, Steve Malchow, some of the other people that were involved back then and looked at it. And the one that sticks out, because Wisconsin in 1993 only lost one game. They lost one game. It was the Minnesota game. It was their worst game by far. It was 42-35. It was the day that that Darryl Bevell broke the school record for passing yards, and he also threw five interceptions. So he had that going for him, but it was actually a really tight game until his last interception. What did I say? I said 35. I said 42-35. It was 28-21. And there was a big story because one of the assistant coaches, the offensive line coach, Bill Callahan, got suspended before that game for for something he did at Purdue. Like, he had grabbed, like, a depth chart or something at Purdue, and he got suspended for it because you're not supposed to be, like, you know, this whole rule about, like, the whole Michigan rule that Michigan got in trouble for it, on-site scouting other places when you're not supposed to be. That's kind of where the rule started. And so he got suspended, and it wasn't necessarily that he wasn't there that was the big story. It was the distraction about it, and Barry talked about that. But they could not run the ball. They got completely out of what they did to pretty much every team that year, and they lose that game. If they don't lose that game, they are 10-0-1 going into bowl season. They obviously beat UCLA to win the Rose Bowl. They're 11-0-1. And there were no other undefeated teams outside of Auburn, who was dealing with some sanctions, so they were not even considered as one of the potential national championships. But Florida State is the team that won the national championship that year because they beat Nebraska, I think it was in the Orange Bowl. But if Wisconsin had not won or not lost that game against Minnesota, they're national champions.
These are always the fun rabbit holes to go down, because one could argue they were galvanized by the loss and therefore played their butts off a week later against Michigan and found a way to win. But, yeah, that's one I never really thought of. Now, that's in the way back machine. But certainly Wisconsin as a football program has had a lot of very good years. But when you're talking about true greatness, have not been able to reach that level in terms of national championship, because that's what being truly great is. But yet that is the team that most people of a certain age remember, because of everything that it meant, from being a program in the doldrums to going to the Rose Bowl 4 years later. But it could have been even more somehow.
It's an all-time team. I don't really care what anybody says. It's an all-time team because of where they came from. But if they had won a national championship, like, it would have been the all-time team. Like, I don't know. Like, it's not the best team in Wisconsin history, but it would have been put up there on a pedestal, and I still put it on a pedestal because, you know, childhood and all that type of stuff. Are there any other ones that stand out to you?
Definitely. Two come to mind. And again, more recency bias, if you want to call it that, because I started covering Wisconsin in 2011, which means I'm getting pretty old, but still, obviously, your knowledge of the Badgers predates that. Basketball. I've seen a lot of people talk about Coach K talking to the officials. Maybe around halftime, what would have happened if, I don't know, the foul calls were a little more even in the second half. I mean, Wisconsin was up at one point, was it 9 points? It was like 48-39 or something like that.
With 13 minutes left.
There's got to be a what if in there of simply would have changed the outcome, because that's not a what if of, oh, in game 27, they could have then gotten a number two seed. Like, it was the national championship game. It was the closest in modern history that this program has ever gotten to winning a title. It's the best team you and I have ever seen. And obviously it didn't happen. So I want to throw that one out there.
All right. Any other football ones that stand
absolutely
out for you? Okay.
Wisconsin had the ball at midfield in the 2017 Big Ten championship game with a chance.
It wasn't even midfield. It was 43-yard line.
With a chance to go to the college football playoff. And what if they had scored? And you could single out one specific play. You know, I know there was
they got called for holding, and yes. Ohio State didn't get called for pass interference.
Yes. So maybe we can say that particular play, but because then they were forced into a fourth and absurdly long and had no chance. But that was an undefeated Wisconsin team playing Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game. You're not going to get opportunities like that very often, as we have seen over the years. So that, to me, is one of the biggest what-ifs in program history, frankly, because of what it would have meant. We went through this whole four-team playoff era, and the Badgers never got there.
Obviously, another one that comes up that's basketball-related is 2020. What if COVID does
mythical
not happen?
Mythical national champions.
What if COVID does not happen? Is it more than just the ESPN simulated championship that Wisconsin has in their possession, right? Is it a run to the Sweet 16? Is it a run to the Elite 8? Is it a run to potentially a Final Four, the way that they were playing down the stretch, winning 8 straight and going into the Big Ten championship game, the Big Ten tournament as one of the hottest teams in the country, and then obviously the world comes to a halt there in March. That, to me, also kind of impacts what we're talking about now with Greg Gard. If Greg Gard had tournament success with his own guys instead of what people will say, those were Bo's guys, right, in 2016 and 2017, then maybe the conversation around him is a little bit different. Unfortunately for them, that didn't happen. They never got a chance to play those games, and the almost the same team came back the next year, except for obviously Brevin Pritzel, and they, very much like this team this year, struggled down the stretch. I think they finished 3-7, and obviously ended up going 1-done in the Big Ten tournament, and then went into the NCAA tournament and took down North Carolina and ended Roy Williams' career, which is perfect. It was kind of poetic considering Roy Williams' comments 20 years earlier about Wisconsin. But that is a huge, huge what if for me.
Yeah, it's a good one. I don't know. It would have depended on how far they went. I mean, is an Elite Eight enough for you to say
yes,
that changes the narrative about Greg? Obviously, as it stands now, the last team that he took to the Sweet 16 was 2016-17, his second season. And I don't know if that would have quieted the grumbling as Wisconsin missed the NCAA tournament last year and is struggling down the stretch this year. But certainly about that singular season, no question, that team was the hottest team in college basketball at that point and looked like they had a chance to do something truly special.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think of some others that stood out. I know you wrote an article in 2019 about football. Do you have any other ones that we have not referenced?
I feel like this is a real down the rabbit hole, and maybe only Brett Bielema truly believes this, but I don't have the article pulled up, but in my mind I can remember one of them being him saying, if they had Devin Smith, the defensive back,
in 2010,
that it would have potentially changed everything. Or was it? It was the 2011 season. Is that the season?
I guess earlier
in the year.
Yeah, because he played in the Rose Bowl.
So
in 2010,
I don't know that anybody else thinks about that as a great what if, but I know Brett has brought that up from time to time.
Yeah, Brett Bielema making outlandish statements back in 2011, 2012, 2013 about things that he feels and not actually not actually being true, that is funny. Again, we are not going to talk basketball, but things are Wisconsin off to a slow start here against Rutgers. Turnovers, an early problem for the Badgers, and that has obviously been a huge problem much of the year. You have any others that stand out?
Well, it was five, so I think we've touched on three of them. One of them that is interesting is the what if Gary Anderson had stayed at Wisconsin, just because he was only here 2 years. He went 19-7, but things were changing. I don't know what Wisconsin would have looked like in the future. He had a lot of success at Utah State, but that's an interesting what if. I think the only other one that I had was what if Joel Stave had been named the starting 14 season, largely because of probably the most bizarre story I've ever covered. We know what happened with him, couldn't throw the football, and it was just a disastrous start all the way around for Wisconsin that season.
I still don't understand it.
It makes zero sense.
Like, I think anybody that saw them play, him and Tanner McAvoy,
yep,
in fall camp, and again, we didn't get to see all of fall camp, but we got to see quite a bit of it.
We saw enough.
And it was not close. And I remember going on an LSU radio station or an LSU podcast and saying, and this wasn't going to be brought, this was not going to actually come out for like a week, which is always dangerous, right? But I'm like, yeah, there's just no chance that this is going to be anything other than Joel Stave. And it ended up being somebody else other than Joel Stade. And it was Tanner McAvoy, and obviously that whole beginning of the season and the whole Melvin Gordon at halftime thing that we still haven't gotten an actual true answer about and what was said there. But, yes, I look at what happened in 2014, in the beginning of 2014, as a kind of a sign of he was in, not over his head, but he was not in the right choice.
No.
And so Paul Chris coming back. What if Graham Mertz had been good? What if Graham Mertz had lived up to the expectations?
Well, then they would have won three national championships and he would have won a Heisman in each year.
And Paul Chris would still be here?
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see. So we're going to come back on the other side, talk a little bit overreaction or no on a couple of different topics as the Badgers try and find themselves here against Rutgers.
This is Temple and Heilprin, live from Mux Bar and Grill in Sun Prairie on the Wisconsin Sports Zone Network.
Welcome back into Temple and Heilprin. We are live at Monk's Bar and Grill in Sun Prairie. Checking out Wisconsin and Rutgers. Kamar McGee making his first appearance in 11 games. So he returns. We'll see. He's going to be the antidote, right, for all of Wisconsin's ills?
Anything's possible, Zach.
Anything is possible. Not talking a ton of basketball tonight, obviously, with the game going on, but we will do a little more football as Wisconsin's spring practice is creeping closer. They are still a couple of weeks out from their first practice, and then even a few more weeks out from actually getting things going full-time. So I want to play a little overreaction or no. Wisconsin did get a new commit. Torin Pettaway has the highest upside of any of Wisconsin's 2025 recruits. And the reason I bring the reason I say this, obviously, is he is out of Middleton. Go Cards. He is a 6'5", 265-pound defensive lineman who has played 1 year of football. 47 tackles, four sacks. You watch his tape, and he is absolutely a problem for teams. So, 1 year. Now, the only other guy I would put up there is another guy that just committed last week. Earlier this week? And Samuel Leteju from New Jersey. New Jersey. So, those two, what do you say?
Well,
is it an overreaction?
It's not an overreaction entirely, but those are really the only two that I think are in the conversation right now, largely because of exactly what you said, Zach. Highest upside to me is a guy that is nowhere near reaching his potential, but a lot of that in high school has to do with how much have you played. I mean, if you've been on the radar since you were in eighth grade or ninth grade and you're a four-star guy, that's not to say you can't have high potential, but people are already aware of how good you truly are. Pettaway's situation is so unique, and that's why I think he's got one of the most intriguing stories in this class, because didn't go out for football until his junior season at Middleton, thought he was going to play basketball, said he always dreamed of playing at the Kohl Center, and that wasn't happening. And then he had a very good season as a junior, got an offer from Nebraska on January 22nd, and all it really takes sometimes is one of those major schools to identify you and give you an offer, another school starts saying, oh, let me look into this. And obviously Wisconsin was paying close attention, but Minnesota came in with an offer, USC, Rutgers, Wisconsin, those were some of the early offers, but he really loved Wisconsin, came up for a junior day, and he liked it so much that he came back for the second junior day on a Sunday, because last month Wisconsin had back-to-back junior days.
Because of the weather.
Yes, because of the bad weather in January. And so he came on the Saturday. I think they had a hockey game that night. He didn't go to that, but they said, you know, if you want to come back anytime. And there was a basketball game the next day. He said, hey, can I go? Of course, they said yes. And so he made his decision on Thursday to commit. But you got to like those types of guys. And certainly Wisconsin has had a history of success with players, especially identifying guys early that have potential upside, that can go a long way. But he and Samuel Leteju, to me, are the two guys you look in this class and say, well, where will they be in a few years?
They're both, like, athletic freaks. Like, they have attributes of athletic freaks, right? 6'5", 235, which is what Leteju is.
Yeah.
A guy who, again, has not played a ton of football either, right? Coming over from Nigeria, originally from Nigeria.
Yeah.
And then Torin Pettaway being so heavily involved in basketball to begin with, and you know he's not even playing basketball this year,
right? He gave it up to pursue football.
Yeah, so like he's all in on the football end of things. All right, let's get into this. Wisconsin's fans are among 20 fan bases that expect to make the playoff every year or the season is a failure. Is that an overreaction or no?
So you mentioned this at the outset. Why this is coming up? My colleague at the Athletic, Stuart Mandel, who's one of our main college football national writers, he did a mailbag and was talking about the schools that have fan bases that expect to go. And he said once the Big Ten expanded to 18 teams, there were a lot of mouths to feed, he was talking about. He said in addition to Florida State, Clemson, Notre Dame, he was talking about Big Ten, USC, Oregon, Washington, and then he said Wisconsin, I think, all expect playoff berths.
Yeah.
So he did put it in parentheses. I think you and I would disagree with the he left open that it's not definitive, but it is not definitive to me, because how can you expect a playoff berth when you've literally never been there? I think for Wisconsin fans, it'll be similar to the way it was with the 14 college football playoff, in that your expectation is that every couple of years, your team will put itself in a position to be there, Now, maybe it changes with a 12-team or 14 or however many it ends up being, but that's kind of how I feel about it.
Do you think fans feel that way?
At this point, I do. And okay. I think maybe some of it, we need to see how it plays out with this 12-team college football playoff situation, because, I mean, if Wisconsin's 7-5 in the regular season and just not really close, maybe they feel different if they're 9-3 and right on the cusp, or the 13th, or maybe they finally break through and get in, because sometimes that can change your level of expectation too, much like I think over the last three decades when Wisconsin started to win more and more, especially in the 2010s, it was 10 plus win seasons that became your expectation.
I think that there are still, even with what has happened, there are unrealistic expectations with some of what Luke Fickell can do. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, he's recruiting a top 25 class, right? Like, last year was 25, and this one is off to a solid start. I don't know if it's going to finish in the top 25 if they are unable to get some of the higher-ranked guys on their board. But, like, I need to see it on the field first before I can sit there and say, and this is the mistake we made last year. We just expected it to work. We expected it to look good. We expected all these different things to happen just because it was Luke Fickell, and it didn't, if we're being fair, right? It didn't. So... I do think that there are other people out there that just expect it to all of a sudden snap into place and Wisconsin be a playoff contender. But I think what he's saying is I think he's talking about 14. I think that is what maybe he is talking about. And would people be disappointed? Would the season be a failure without a playoff appearance at 14? I think those are still the expectations, even though Wisconsin has won seven games, and nine games, including a Las Vegas Bowl win, and four games since they won the Big Ten West back in 2019.
Right.
There have to be a little bit of an adjusting of standards, expectations, until they prove otherwise. You can't just keep on thinking this is 2019 Wisconsin. It's not.
Right. I think that's the point that I was getting at, is that you can't expect a certain level when you have not been there, and I think once they get there, then that raises the bar and changes the level of expectation. That's not to say Badgers fans don't believe it's possible, but again, I think, like we've talked about many times in the last year, they got to go show it. We did a lot of talking, and I know we'll do more talking, but we did a lot of talking last year about all these changes and what it could mean, and it didn't end up that way. They finished with the same record in 2023 as they had in 2022, so at this point, it doesn't matter what transfers you're getting or what four-star recruits. That's exciting in the moment, sure, but let's see what happens between August 31st and December before we start deciding what this program really is.
That's BS, Jesse. We need to decide right now.
It's March, and we need our answers before we've seen a single spring practice snap.
Yes, we do. So, Barry Alvarez, he's alive. Congratulations to him. Obviously, the story, the rumor from former Ohio State defensive lineman Matt Finkus yesterday morning, I guess, what would that be, Wednesday morning, putting out condolences for Barry Alvarez and for Wisconsin, because he passed away. He later obviously took that back after it was proven pretty quickly by our colleagues on the Wisconsin beat and Colton Bartholomew and Jim Polzine that no, in fact, he is very much alive. And so he ended up doing the rounds on some of the media, different media on Thursday, and that included a stop with Jason Wilde and Mark Tauscher on ESPN Wisconsin, and he was asked to talk about NIL. And so this is where this is coming from. He said, Barry Alvarez said today that the current NIL model is going to ruin college football.
Mm-hmm.
Is that an overreaction or no?
It's an overreaction in my mind. Obviously, things have changed a lot, and if you're a coach, you probably don't like it because you've got to try and recruit guys and get certain amounts of money guaranteed to them. But I think when you say ruining college football to me would be nobody's showing up to the games, no one's paying for it, and therefore it's not a product that's worthwhile to anybody. And honestly, I don't think that's ever going to happen. I think there are people in a certain age bracket who are going to be more turned off by this because they grew up used to a different model. But I still think as long as the games are played, there are going presumably to be players wearing a Wisconsin badge. The biggest thing to me is how it impacts the players that you root for from a fan perspective. Like, the Hunter Wohlers of the world are the people that I think Badgers fans love, in part because it's a home state kid, but it's somebody who's sticking it out, who's been here this whole time. You get more and more transfers and guys who are going to be at Wisconsin for just 1 year or 2 years, and sometimes it's going to be harder to root for an individual player, but I don't think that changes how you feel about your university and your program.
I've always thought this, like, why it's different than the NFL is, like, you could have players with your NFL team for how many years? 7, 8, 9 years. So you get very much attached to them. And maybe college football ends up like that, where there's a legal challenge and all of a sudden you can have unlimited years in college, which is just obviously ridiculous to think about.
But I would have liked that, by the way.
Well, I know you would have. Maybe it would have eventually become a starter.
I was a starter senior year. But the extra years of fun would have been nice, too.
Yeah, of course. But, like, that, you know, outside of that, I still think, and I know a lot of people are turned off by this, I understand it, I still think it is more about what says, and obviously Wisconsin's not on the front of the jersey, but what it says on the front of the jersey as opposed to what's on the back of the jersey. I've always felt that way. Like, when I think about Wisconsin, I think about teams before I think about players. So I think about the 93 Badgers. I think about the 98-99 Badgers. And obviously, there are players that go along with that, right? Ron Dane and, you know, all the players that have come. But I still think, I've always thought, like, those guys come and go, I'm still rooting for Wisconsin.
The other thing that I think of as we're having this conversation is you can still have a very fond recollection of a player who wasn't here very long. You can enjoy. Johnny Davis was here 2 years.
Yeah.
He had one fantastic season.
Nick Davis. Left for the NBA. Not Davis. Nick Nelson was here for one.
Yeah.
People like him.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, that can happen in any kind of situation if you're good enough to go to the league or whatever it is. But it's obviously changing, and for certain people who have been involved in this sport, it's drastically different. There's no doubt about it. I think it makes it harder to recruit and to do everything. But strictly from the fan perspective, again, these teams are still playing games, and they're still making a lot of money, and people want to see the product.
I think what more so is that it's unsustainable. What's happening on that I agree with. That I would say yes, definitely it has become unsustainable for them to continue to pay money out this way. Like, it's impossible to continue to do it the way that they have. It's just not. We've already seen it. We've already seen fatigue on an NIL level for people, like, giving money, you know? Like, people are sick of having to continue to pony up year after year for it, and that's definitely going to be a problem at Wisconsin, where you don't necessarily have all that money just being thrown out there every single time you ask for it. So, to me, at Wisconsin, it's definitely not sustainable. But what do you do to get away from it? I think it goes back to the idea of breaking football away and everyone playing by the same rules, and the schools have the ability to start paying for their own players, right? I mean, that's where we're going here. The NCAA has losing every legal battle. The only way here is to allow players to form whatever you want union-wise, get this all situated, very similar to the NFL, all situated to the haves and the have-nots, and go forward with it. Like, to me, that is what you want to do.
Yeah, I think that from the fan perspective, part of the fatigue, too, would be like, you have to pay a certain amount of money, and we've seen this already, to get your season tickets, but then people are asking you to donate your hard-earned money to this cause. Like, honestly, and obviously we're in the media, but that would turn me off so much that to me is where things would change. If the expectation was that I should donate my hard-earned money to go and see these teams, which is why I think there should be these separate entities in place to try and figure this out.
So, season tickets are due March 15th, and my family's had tickets since 1953. I think we've talked about this. And even though I have not been to a game as a fan since 2012, I still pay for them. And the cost of tickets went up. The cost of to even have an opportunity to pay for tickets went up. So those things are increasing. And then at the back end of it, it's like, do you want to give even more for here? Do you want to give money here? That's not a job that I would ever want to have. And we know the person who's behind having to run that. And I, you know, it's a tough job. It's not one that I would want to continue to try and reach into someone's pockets and take their money. That's again, that's not what I'm saying, that this is exactly what is happening and what those jobs entail, but it's tough. It's tough. So, all right, we're going to come back on the other side, talk a little bit more about a new recruiting calendar that everyone is trying.
This is Temple and Heilprin, live from Mox Bar and Grill in Sun Prairie on the Wisconsin Sports Zone Network.
Welcome back into Temple and Heilprin. We are live at Monk's Bar and Grill in Sun Prairie, watching Wisconsin and Rutgers battle here still in the first half. And Wisconsin has fought back and made it a game. But we're talking football. We're talking about a new recruiting calendar that, that they're trying to implement. There was the original trying to change what December looks like for head coaches, right? We've heard coaches talk about how it's untenable, where you have the transfer portal and the early signing period being right around the same time, and you're trying to recruit your own guys, you're trying to recruit high school players, you're trying to recruit guys from other schools. Like, it's just impossible to do. So they have announced today that they are moving up the early recruiting day to before the transfer portal opens. So players will be able to sign in early December as opposed to the third Wednesday of December. Still going to have the Wednesday, still going to have the one in February, but they were also talking about the one in June, trying to like put one in June that guys could lock in what they wanted to do all the way back then. That one has not necessarily played out. Do you think this makes an impact at all?
I think it makes it slightly easier from a managing of the schedule situation, because it was absolutely absurd in that you would, let's just say you're a team that's playing for a conference championship game, you had to worry about that, you had to go on the road and recruit the guys who had been committed forever to make sure that they were going to sign, and then you also had this transfer portal situation, so it makes it a little bit easier. I wonder how much it's going to change, because the thing that I think about is, well, you get these guys locked in, but you can still recruit right over them in the transfer portal, so it almost feels to me, and that's not to say that wasn't going on already, but it'd kind of be like, oh, here's the culmination of my entire high school career, let me sign, and then a week later they've got an outside linebacker who's basically taking your spot. But that could have happened anyway.
Right. But I mean, if I'm a player and all of a sudden I sign and they, you know, if it happens in the first couple of weeks and then it's then you know.
Right.
Like, it could happen. It could still happen on the 21st when you would originally be signing, and then they could recruit over you after that. But putting that date right there makes it easier, because makes it harder for the freshman or the high school recruit, because the portal's not even open yet. And when it opens, that's when the flood of guys, you know, they don't even know who's going to be available necessarily.
I think the other interesting thing is the way that it is set up now, and generally at Wisconsin, and I think it's like this at a lot of schools, basically everybody's signing during that early signing period. They've all been committed. You want to be on board and just be done with it. But if you were to wait until February, there are some schools who look at that and say, and I think I read this somewhere pretty recently, that they essentially consider that to be a kid who's decommitted.
Right.
Because they're not all in and doing it in December. On the other hand, you have to look out for yourself. So it's a really challenging and delicate situation, because if you do wait that long, then your spot might all of a sudden disappear. But you still have this February signing period that's on the calendar. So I don't know. It's an interesting spot. I don't think this obviously solves all the problems, but at the very least, it's more manageable for the programs.
It is, and yet, I mean, everything's changing just so quickly.
Yes.
And this, the idea that pay for play is now on the table, even though it's not supposed to be, but the NCAA has said, well, you know, has kind of thrown its hands up and said, we're not going to trying to do anything with any of these NIL cases until it's the other case is settled in court. The like we've talked about how this whole thing has been the Wild Wild West. It is now truly, truly, truly the Wild Wild West. Like there are no restrictions, it feels like, whatsoever to transfer, to money being given to players, to NIL. There's nothing there. There are no safeguards in place whatsoever. And it's why I go back to the idea that I don't think it can be saved in its current iteration. It has to become what I think the NCAA wants to do, and what I think Alvarez mentioned today was getting a group of schools that want to do this, that want to pay and want to spend the money and break off from the NCAA and just make that league. And I don't know how many schools are going to do it, 30, 40, whatever it's going to be, and just move forward with that. Those are the schools that matter anyways. And I guess for you, do you think Wisconsin is one of those schools? I think it has to be based on the Big Ten, the money that's coming in there.
Well, they're absolutely one of the schools that matters and that is a part of this conversation.
But are they willing to jump in and pay that money?
I have no idea, but my sense would be
absolutely
yes, because
what they're paying Fickell.
Yeah, I mean,
that's to me as a sign.
They're obviously all in, and they're part of one of the two super conferences. And not only that, but they're not like the bottom feeder of a conference. It'd be one thing if you were a team that consistently went 1-10 and really had no business. I mean, this is not exactly accurate, but I think of the SEC and I think of Vanderbilt, right? Like a very well-regarded academic school that you haven't really thought about as an SEC championship contender. But like Wisconsin has competed for Big Ten championships, has won Big Ten championships, and so that's why I think as a program they would certainly be a part of that. I just don't know what any of this looks like in the future, and obviously a lot of people don't know what it looks like. And so, how would you rein in the money, and do you have salary caps? And like, I don't know. I have zero answers for that.
See, the thing is, we have a model for it already.
The NFL?
Yes. Like, we have a model of how it could work. It's just, will it get to that point? Because a lot of people, you know, look at the NFL, and you have the draft, and you have free agency, and you have, like, spending caps, like, you have salary cap. Like, a lot of people are like, that's not fair. Guys shouldn't be drafted to where they want to go. There should not be a limit on how much teams are willing to pay guys. If they're willing to pay guys, let them pay them. So, kind of like baseball. Now, baseball obviously has a draft as well. But, like, there are things in the NFL that if they were to do them over again, would they do them? Because the NFL is set up so parity rules.
Yes.
That is not going to be the case in college football. Parity, you know, I think we've seen it a little bit more, like this past year where you kind of felt like almost anybody could have won it, and I think that's probably going to be the case this year as well, that it's not necessarily one school bringing all those transfers in and bringing all the big boys in because they have more money than anybody else. Some of these five-star guys are going other places. And so we've seen it in basketball, too. Like, certain guys ending up places, like, why is he there?
Right. The biggest difference to me, though, of course, is in the pros, you're under contract. And so you're locked in and you can hold out or whatever, but you know, that's the biggest thing.
I think they're going to make these guys sign contracts.
Yeah, and
if they're employees, they're going to have to sign contracts. If they want to be employees, which we saw the Dartmouth basketball team, you know, vote to be employees, well, employees are going to have to sign contracts. I think that is going to be a part of this. But again, this is all down the line. My whole thing is let's just get to it. But I thought Andy Staples, he put together like this Super League, and it was 40 teams, and it was not necessarily teams that you just he said it at 48, and it's all the Big Ten teams, all the SEC teams, and then a few more. And then we're not kicking teams out. So, like, Vanderbilt's in there, and Indiana's in there. Like, the Northwestern's in there, and that type of stuff. But he set it up in divisions. And Wisconsin's division, which he called Westish Midwest, includes Ohio State. It includes, obviously, Iowa. It includes Northwestern, Illinois, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. And that makes up the Westish Midwest. And the Eastish Midwest is Michigan, Michigan State, Notre Dame, Indiana, Purdue, and Rutgers. Obviously, those make up a large stretch of the Big Ten. And the Atlantic has Penn State, but then also Maryland and Pittsburgh and Virginia and Florida State and North Carolina. Either way, I don't hate it. I don't hate it. I understand why Ohio State's there. It's the exact thing that the legends and leaders did, break up so that things are even, because you can't just have that, because that'd be the Big Ten West, and you can't have that. I don't mind it. I don't hate it. What do you think?
I hate all of it. We had a 16-team league, and then it became an 18-team league before we ever had 16-team teams just playing in the league. So I can we just get one thing consistently?
It's fun to do all this.
Andy's been doing this stuff for a long time. He did it for us at the Athletic and at SI before then. So he's always got really fascinating ideas. But how about the West? The Big Ten West would be UCLA, USC, Oregon, Washington, Utah, Nebraska. Well, Nebraska would be
screwed,
in big trouble.
That is not the Big Ten West.
No,
right?
As we knew it.
Right,
correct.
Exactly. That is not your father's Big Ten West. Your older brother's.
Your
Big
father
Ten
was
West.
Looking at. Was Penn State in that? I guess Penn State was in the Big Ten. They had 11.
93, yeah.
Yeah. So. Things change.
They do. The other thing that's changed, the good thing about NIL is the return of EA Sports College Football Game. I think we've talked about it quite a bit. There's a guy that's opting out. He's not taking part. Talk about that coming up.
This is Temple in Heilprin, live from Muck's Bar and Grill in Sun Prairie on the Wisconsin Sports Zone Network.
Welcome back into Temple and Heilprin, final segment of the show. Badgers at halftime with Rutgers right now. Nice comeback there at the end of the first half. Closing strong, they lead by two at the half. Their defense resulted in some offense. It's not something necessarily that we've seen, but certainly real good finish for Wisconsin there in the first half. All right, wanted to touch on this. We've talked about EA College Football coming out. It's going to be coming out in July, but they had to get opt-ins from these players to use their names, and so they sent out a sheet and said you have until I think it's like April 15th to get it back in that you are signed up, and like more than 5,000 signed up like in the first couple hours of the or in like the first day. They now have up to 87% of the guys ready and willing and wanting to have their name in the game. One guy that is not going to be in the game because he is opting out is Arch Manning, the backup quarterback at Texas, the third string quarterback at Texas this past year. He is opting out. Now, he has said, I guess officially, that it's because he wants to focus on football. And I don't buy that. I don't buy that one bit. Like, do you think he's going to be just, like, playing the video game nonstop because he's in it? Like, what is that about? No. What he wants, I assume, is what he wants, is to be getting paid more than the $600 in a copy of video game because he is Arch Manning.
Everyone is entitled to do what they want, but let's just be real. Just sign the thing, man. It would be so cool to be in a video game.
Right?
And, I think I said this off air, but like the game will go on and people will be fine, and the only people who might care would be Texas fans who want to play as Texas, but they also have another quarterback that they could play with who's going to be playing.
Who's actually pretty good.
So,
right?
I don't know. I mean, I wonder what the final percentage will be, but
I bet you it's in the high 90s.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure.
We know that Tyler Van Dyke's going to be in the game because he posted, I'm in the game. So he's got that going for him. What do you think his rating is?
I
think it's in the 80s.
Yeah, that feels about right.
Low 80s, maybe.
He's a proven quarterback. So I don't really know what that means, though. I really want to see what the game looks like.
Right. Again, Wisconsin, it's going to be on the same engine as the Madden game, but they're obviously going to have so many different things. I wonder if they're having to like change things on a daily basis because of what's happening other places. And like, how much of a role NIL plays in it? And like, how do you recruit guys and that type of stuff? I'm genuinely interested in that to see how it all plays out. And we'll see. Arch Manning won't be a part of it, but Narch Manning might.
Yeah, that's a possibility. I always liked way back in the day when you couldn't have the names, but you'd have the number, and then you could just send in your SIM card or whatever,
yep,
or your game somewhere. And I don't know where they did that, in somebody's basement. I'm sure they made a living off of that. They crushed it.
Yes, back then they made an absolute living off of it. Now you can just download it straight from like the last iteration of it. You can just go online and download the roster right to your console. And the only reason I know that is because I've started playing the game again.
Yes. Who do you play with? Are you Wisconsin?
I got fired at Wisconsin because I can't actually play the game. My disc is scratched somehow, so I can't actually play the game. I can only recruit and like do that type of stuff.
Hold on, you got fired?
Yes, Luke Fickle got fired.
Does that mean they went 3-9?
They went they won the Big Ten in the first year,
uh-huh,
and then they went 2-10. And then they went 6-6, and I got fired.
I can't believe we didn't lead the show with this.
Went to Penn State, won a couple national titles as the defensive coordinator there, went to USC, now back at Wisconsin as the defensive coordinator.
I'm more interested in this than anything we've talked
Boom.
About the entire hour.
Boom. But, yeah, don't have a game that I can actually play because it's scratched up, which is unfortunate, but whatever.
You know what people should be donating their money toward? Not NIL, but get Zach the game so he can play this dynasty.
Some of these games are like, whatever. Either way. All right, we will be in Big Ten Tournament next week, but we'll have other people here doing the show. Jesse, thank you very much.
Thanks, Zach.